little change of pace here to a more international look at things. Let me just give you a little bit of context. This won't take long, I think, to show you the case. And I'm going to ask for our Xenia if she could help out with this. This is an ILO case, and we may have someone in the audience here that knows more about it than I do, so I'm going to defer to her. For me, it was a very interesting case. The context is this. I teach a course originally called Labor Policy. It's a very old course here at McGill, in the days when labor policy was a big issue. And it used to be just a course about tinkering with the labor law, a little bit for management, a little bit for unions, usual stuff. But I've turned it into a course in globalization. And I'm very interested in how globalization can be made to improve the lives of everyone. And I think that this is one of the problems with it. It helps some at the expense of others, it seems. How do we share in the benefits of globalization? Not to say that we shouldn't have it, but how can we make it so that it works for everyone? And especially, I think, of the developing world, where there's some very apparently uneven effects, to say the least. For the developed world, you know, we see it here as the outsourcing. We see our jobs being lost, manufacturing jobs being lost constantly. And organized labor's response to that is, and labor generally, is, you know, in terms of free trade, maybe that's okay, but is the reason I'm losing my job is because of lax standards, not just low wages, but poor health and safety standards, basically an unregulated labor market in that country that we're trying to compete with. If that's the comparative advantage that the factory is enjoying somewhere in the rest of the world, then that's really not what is intended by free trade. That's not a legitimate comparative advantage. It's an exploitation, if you like, of a deregulated market. So the ILO has an answer to this. Their answer is, and there's a universal consensus around this, that we need to adopt the core labor standards. And the core labor standards are four: no child labor, or eliminate child labor, eliminate forced labor, eliminate discrimination, and recognize freedom of association. If those four things can be adhered to internationally, then we can have fair trade. All companies everywhere would have to subscribe to those principles. Then the problem becomes, the developed world says, well, that's okay for you to say. You can have, with all due respect, you can have health and safety in the workplace, or you can afford these benefits, and you can even regulate them. We can't even regulate them. We don't have the infrastructure in Asia to regulate these things. So it's kind of veiled protectionism from the developed world. So this is a kind of a debate that doesn't lead anywhere. It leads to what may be described as reduced conditions everywhere. I can't see anyone benefiting from this. Well, what has come along here is this one program. It's called Better Factories Cambodia. It's been around for about 10 years, and I'm sorry about the quality of this presentation. I put it together yesterday. This is just a cut and paste from their website. So I invite you to go to the website, and if you want to know more about it, you can talk to Xenia or someone at the ILO. It's a solution that involved the coming together of three or four different interests. And this may not be generalizable to other cases, but I think it's an extremely interesting case. The first thing is that in certain industries, consumers, as you know probably better than I do, consumers will not buy products that are produced by child, where it's known that they're produced by child labor. Estimates say 20% of buyers will not buy it. So from a marketing standpoint, the supplier wants the security of the market. The producer of the goods certainly don't want to see their market disappear if it's child labor is involved in it. The consumer in North America is not going to buy it, or at least a significant segment of that market will not buy the product that's produced using child labor. This is just taking child labor as an example. And government, of course, have an interest in this as well. They want to, in the developing world, they want to attract industry and keep that industry there. They don't want to see it disappear because the market disappears. They want stability. From labor's point of view, there's a lot to be gained here. Workers get a better advantage out of it. The core labor standards are adhered to. And labor's institutions, like unions, also get an advantage from this because freedom of association is recognized in the package. So what happened in Cambodia is that there was a coming together of government and business, the factories themselves, the factory owners, labor, and they're using the ILO as the regulator to inspect the factories to make sure that the goods that are produced in these factories, in this parts of, and there's something like 300 companies, I think, involved in this. I'm going to show you some of that the goods that are produced, to as much as you can guarantee this, are not being produced with the use of child labor. So that the goods that come out of these factories and the inspections, let me just give you an idea of this. It actually, somewhere in here, it says it grew out of a free trade or a trade agreement between the United States and Cambodia. That's not a necessary part of this process. The fact is that we have a regulatory model here that it was agreed to by the government, by Cambodia, by the ILO. Actually, the ILO is part of the enforcement arm, and by organized labor. It was established in 2001 to help the sector make and maintain the improvements. It's managed, the way they describe it is that it's managed by the ILO, supported by the Royal Government of Cambodia, the Garment Manufacturers Association in Cambodia. They work closely with other stakeholders, U.S. Department of Labor, and so on, so forth. Let me just give a cautionary note to this. I'm getting this information from a website. I don't know if it's really working or not. This could all be just sort of somebody's paper thing here, okay? So, and I'm a skeptic by nature, but I'm also an optimist. I'm a little bit different than Jim. I guess I was just born that way. My wife keeps saying to me, "You're such an optimist, incurable." But here's how I think it's working, and this is why it's working, and it's just from kind of looking at their newsletters. They're reporting on, this is a test for me, I study industrial conflict, I study workplace conflict. It's one of my research areas. They've had strikes. They've had strikes where the workers weren't jailed, where they were actually, there was a conclusion to the strike, where the workers gained something, and it was settled. It sounds like a normal labor relations environment. This is very unusual for this part of the world. I don't know if you know this. I don't think there's too much else I want to say here. Just a minute. I just wanted to get you the idea of how big this is. It's grown, and it's still growing. The Ministry of Commerce requires registration with Better Factories, Cambodia, in order to export. You have to register now. The government likes it so much, they're requiring it. Over 300 operating factories are registered with Better Factories. This is not a small one-off kind of an arrangement. It's a fairly large enterprise. And again, it's in the spirit of the ILO, which is tripartite in nature. You have government supporting it, business, labor. And hopefully the workers are the ones that are benefiting from it. But I think we as consumers are also benefiting from it. The most important beneficiary of all are the children that don't have to work in the factory to produce this. So I lay this out there only as a case. Whether there's a future in it, who knows, but it's an intriguing case for me because it seems to solve the problem of how do you regulate this in the developing world? How do you effectively get regulation? How do you get physical inspections on the worksite? There's a very elaborate process here of inspection. Somebody cut me off. I'm finished. Okay, I think we have time. We have a few minutes for question and answers, and about 15 minutes till 2:30, and then I think we have, there's always coffee. I'm going to turn on my chairperson hat here.